President Obama names a replacement for outgoing Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel. The White House expects to formally nominate former Deputy Defense Secretary Ash Carter to lead the Pentagon later this week. Bill Greenwalt's visiting fellow at the Marilyn Ware Center for Security Studies at the American Enterprise Institute and a former Pentagon official himself, and looking at the challenges that Mr. Carter will take if Congress confirms him to that job. Bill, it's great to talk to you as always. The primary things that it strikes me that Ash Carter would have to deal with if he goes into that job are budget, and maybe a little bit of budget also. Are there other issues that you expect the next Secretary of Defense, whether it's him or somebody else, we'll have to focus on? Thanks for coming on, Bill.
Oh, no, my pleasure. And absolutely. The budget is going to be everything. But at the same time, you know, the new secretary would have to address, you know, the multitude of ongoing operations that are out there. Obviously, the Islamic State, whatever's going on in Ebola in West Africa, the rise of Russia and what they're doing in Ukraine. So there's a lot of those type of issues that are going to take the time. And then, of course, you have to deal with budget again, and then a little bit more. And also address, really, the effects of the budget that's already taken place on the readiness of the force. So those are three main issues that if he comes into the office, is already going to have to address.
I've gotten some terrific input from Arnold Pinaro at NDIA, a former Marine Corps general, knows the Hill, knows his whole way around, on what originally, when Ash left the Defense Department, what the next Deputy Secretary of Defense would look like qualifications-wise. And then we discussed this very issue again last week. What's the big difference between the COO role, the Deputy Secretary of Defense role, and the CEO role, the SecDef role, that Mr. Carter has played and might play in the future?
Well, you know, if we were going to kind of talk in theory, you know, the CEO or the SecDef has more of an outward focus, addressing the public, addressing our allies, addressing the White House and Congress. And then the COO, Deputy Secretary of Defense, would be addressing how to implement those policies internally, so that's an inward focus within the department. You know, the problem with that is it's a question of personalities, and the traditional role is you know, you have to ask how often is that traditional role actually observed in practice, and you know what the relationships between the two and what they actually delineate their responsibilities.
Ash Carter comes from before the Deputy Secretary of Defense role from a position of great interest to you, and that is the Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics. You and I have spoken about acquisition issues on a number of occasions. What do you think that says, if anything, about the importance that acquisition and Better Buying Power 3.0 in particular may have, the kind of prominence it may have in the rest of the Obama administration if somebody like Ash Carter becomes SecDef?
Well, it's one of those, whether it's something that is of interest to the White House or not, it's something that's extremely of interest to the Department of Defense in achieving their objectives. And we haven't had you know, an ATL rise up to be a Secretary of Defense. I mean, I can think of Bill Perry, and that is actually would be a terrific comparative if Ash Carter were to be as good a Secretary of Defense as Bill Perry was.
The ultimate goal here is to institute acquisition reform policies such as Better Buying Power that will not just last for the rest of this administration, but that will become embroidered into the fabric of the Department of Defense and last long after January 20th, 2017. Is that more the role for Frank Kendall to continue to play, or could a new SecDef, if it's Ash Carter or somebody else, be instrumental in doing that as well, do you think?
The key thing is for the Secretary to give cover to Frank Kendall and to Bob Work to try to implement his offset strategy in the right way. And offset strategy, as you know, will require acquisition reform that's going to have to make it easier for commercial companies to actually do business with the government on issues such as robotics and big data and so on. So the system has to radically change. They've got a plan. It looks like they are about at the point to execute it, and they probably would need a lot of cover from the Secretary to actually get that execution.
And since he was hands-on on that and instrumental in Better Buying Power 1.0, you know, wrote the thing, one would think he's ready, more than ready to do that.
One would hope that the key thing to look at is that there's a big difference between 1.0 and 3.0, and they've refined 1.0 and are looking at how can and the acquisition system entice some of these commercial companies and drive the innovation that's necessary for the department to achieve military superiority in the future. And some of the things in 1 and 3 are in conflict, and so that's going to be very interesting to see how they handle that in the future.
What are some examples of that, Bill?
Well, 1.0 was a drive to achieve affordability and really manage the defense unique industrial base better, and I think that was is running its course now. So some of those same type of oversight structures and mechanisms and risk averse behavior can't. You can't use them when you're dealing with Google or Amazon. And those are the type of things that they're now trying to address. How do we remove barriers that we actually have already put in to deal with the defense unique guys?
Bill Greenwald of the American Enterprise Institute, what are the important criteria that you think the Senate will want to look at? Again, whether it's Secretary Carter or coming back or somebody else, and do you expect, given your experience on the Hill, an opportunity that if it is Ash Carter, as we're all hearing this afternoon, that he might have an easier time since he's kind of been down this road before?
Yeah, I think they're going to look for competence. They're going to look for someone who can deal with the budget. They can deal with some of these, can roll his sleeves up and deal with these issues that Congress is concerned about. I think the fact that he's been already confirmed twice in this administration and has essentially had experience in all of the areas, whether it's policy, acquisition, or budget as the deputy, would be something that the Congress would look favorably to.
And that strikes me as particularly desirable at this point in time, because what you, I would think you don't want at this point in an administration, any administration, is somebody coming in there who's never been in the Pentagon before.
Yeah, I mean, we're in the last 2 years of a lame duck administration. It's a lot of these issues have been debated. You need to manage and essentially a level of continuity and dealing with the issues that are at hand and setting it up for the next administration or something that the next secretary has to do.
I want to go back to the acquisition piece, not just as focused on the next Secretary of Defense, whether it's Ash Carter or somebody else, but not only are we seeing a transition there, we're going to see a transition in both oversight committees in the Congress. We're seeing a party-to-party transition in the Senate, and we're seeing a chair-to-chair transition in the House at the Armed Services Committees. As that transition happens, any potential for a change of dynamic as we're seeing both SecDef and committee chairs changing kind of all at the same time?
Yeah, I think there's a great opportunity here for real positive legislative change, and also real positive signals from the Congress that the department can be have a greater initiative and take a greater risk again to achieve military superiority and drive innovation in the department. So I think those opportunities are there with the change in leadership. The question will be whether. The secretary and the deputy can focus on that rather than having to deal with the budget and dealing with the military operations that they're going to have to address.
I find it interesting, though, that the same day that we're learning about potentially the nomination of Ash Carter, we're learning about a deal in Congress to get the 52nd consecutive National Defense Authorization Act through. And we're hearing that we can expect next Monday to see an omnibus bill with a CR tacked on for the Homeland Security Department. That doesn't directly impact the Department of Defense, so that's probably encouraging that is not likely to be a CR. That's likely to be a line-by-line fund for the rest of this fiscal year. It just seems to me, maybe it's anecdotal and maybe it's just wishful thinking on my part, Bill, but I just have this sensation that maybe a logjam that's been going on for a while may be starting to break when it comes to defense budgets and spending and so on.
Well, I hope so, and I think if it is, it's driving from a realization that to achieve what it is they want to achieve in current operations to deter actions such as are taking place in Ukraine and China and elsewhere, and to actually drive the innovation that they want and offset, they're going to need budget stability and probably more money. And so that coming together with a Congress, I think that is starting to realize as well that perhaps the logjam can be broken. I hope that's the case.